Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
Thanks for joining us, everybody. It's a pleasure to have you here, and we appreciate you being with us as well. Always a great day when you're here. And happy Valentine's Day to those who are listening on Valentine's Day. It's a pleasure to have you here as well. We're also excited to welcome Jill Helmer. She's live and direct from Pennsylvania, joining us in just a second. Let me tell you a little about her extraordinary background. She is an executive coach and organization development professional with 25 years of experience in the development of people, teams, and organizations. Jill is dedicated to coaching individuals to be the best version of themselves and coaching teams to be fully interdependent and cohesive to achieve business success. Jill works with leaders to become more self-aware. She wants to help them understand why they behave the way they do, why others behave the way they do, and what they can really do differently to improve a situation and lead to the best outcome. Jill works with individuals and teams to make them as effective and productive as they can be and helps organizations facilitate change, achieve their vision, and optimize performance and productivity. In her executive coaching work, Jill recognizes that the game executives are playing high stakes. She subscribes to the Marshall Goldsmith perspective that there's going to be something an executive doesn't expect to happen in the course of their work together. Whatever happens to them or to their organization, she can be that sounding board for them because her job is to make sure they're whole enough to lead an organization. As a development coach, Jill partners with organizations to develop high-potential talent, individuals that organizations have identified as people who could someday lead their organization from the C-suite. Jill also coaches teams to ensure team members collectively pursue their goals and everyone's on the same page about what needs to be done. You know, speaking about Marshall Goldsmith, he is extraordinary. He's a pioneer in a lot of this kind of work. We've had the opportunity here at Close Up Television and Radio to have him as a guest multiple times on our radio series, Close Up Radio, and also for a in-studio television video interview with him on Close Up Television, which has been terrific. So she subscribes to his perspective, which is one of the best in the business, as is Jill Helmer. And it's our pleasure to welcome her to Close Up Radio today for this next 30-minute conversation. Jill, welcome to the program. It's a pleasure to have you here, and happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day, Jim, and thanks for the intro.
I love the fact that you're very in tune with the Marshall Goldsmith perspective and method. He is just clearly one of the gold standards in this business, isn't he?
He absolutely is. I would say he is the gold standard. As far back as I can remember, I have been tuning into him and reading his work, and I think he really, really needs to be credited for executive coaching as it appears today in corporations.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. And you yourself have carved a path that's extraordinary. Tell us about some of those early moments for you and your journey that sort of guided you into the direction of the work that you're doing, some of the inspirational aha moments that got you to sort of realize this is work that you not only love to do, but you were meant to do.
Well, that's a good question, Jim. So I am a Penn State graduate, and I say that proudly because few people that come in contact with me would not know that after our first conversation. But I think that a lot of my desire to do this type of work actually started when I was in grad school at Penn State. And I think back to a group that we ran that was called Project WISE, and it was Workshop Integration Skills for Engineers. And essentially what we were doing was we were taking these really highly intelligent, brilliant engineers And before we sent them out into the workforce, we were trying to develop a set of soft skills for them too, and trying to embed in them the understanding that it wasn't just IQ, it was EQ as well that would help to pave their path to success. And so as I was doing this work in grad school, I was also getting my degree and trying to piece together what the professional career path for me would look like. And one of the stories I like to tell is that I had a business management professor in grad school that asked us to do an email assignment to him. And so an email assignment sounds like, well, it's just the way we communicate nowadays. But in that time period, you had to go to computer lab very late at night because you had to wait in line to get a computer. And you had to sit there, and this is at the time period, right? This is 30 years ago. This is Al Gore inventing the internet type of thing. And I was so worried that this email was not going to get to this professor that I printed it out. And he had us do a visioning exercise. And when I found this piece of perforated paper about 10 years ago, I smiled because what I described that I wanted to do for a living is exactly what I'm doing today. I didn't have all the words to describe it. I knew I wanted to work with teams. I knew I wanted to work with individuals, but I feel very fortunate to have been able to do the work that I set my sights on all those years ago for the course of my career.
That is fantastic. Yes, when there would only be one computer in the room and a line of people waiting for it. Same thing for the microfilm and microfiche in the library.
Yes.
Remember that?
Yes. We're on the same page.
Yeah, I was going to say the weary eyes afterwards in study hall and everything, or in the library researching and digging for information and newspaper articles and black and white microfiche and microfilm, it was really something. All part of the experience that led to the creation of Jill Helmer Consulting. When you created the company, tell us about what your vision was and is and your mission. There's a lot of people out there who do obviously coaching and consulting. What is it that you think you bring to the table, your perspective? Of course, having the Marshall Goldsmith perspective as a guide is sensational, but then you sort of make it your own and deliver your own instincts and your own methodology and technique and experience to what you're doing. Tell us about some of that and what makes what you do maybe a little bit different and unique through your own touch.
Well, Jim, I think part of it is my background. So after all of those days in the computer lab at Penn State, I went to work for Anderson Consulting, which is now known as Accenture. And so I did big time consulting projects. I did most of my work in the pharmaceutical industry with change and transition. And it was a fascinating period of time. It was great experience. And from there, I actually took that and went to work as an internal consultant at a company called Air Products. And I spent the majority of my career there, 15 years. I really, at that point, fell in love with the coaching of high potential talent and the creation of development plans and really catching people at early stages in their career and mapping out what they wanted to do and trying to put them in pivotal positions to be able to get there. And it was a great period of time, a nice experience. I think it will be 6 years ago this spring, finally said to myself, okay, you've got the path behind you laid out. You've got the Anderson Consulting experience. You have the Air Products experience. You've done this work. You've always wanted to hang your own shingle. How about now? And I did. And it was the best decision that I have ever made. And I'm excited that I've had the opportunity to do it, but it is much credit to the foundation of consulting experiences that I had that led me to where I am today. And, certainly there are the Marshall Goldsmiths of the world. There are the Pat Lencionis. There are lots of these big names where you kind of pick and choose what it is that you take from their methodology, and you do make it your own, like you said, to be able to serve the clients that you have.
That's fantastic. Talking about some of the work, Obviously, your prior experience includes being fluent in organizational culture, leadership, and what's effective, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it, you know, we were talking a few minutes before the broadcast came on about how that's even fluid and changing as a result of COVID and where people have been, where corporations have been, the great resignation, right? I think that a leader in at least the course of my career was always someone who had achieved great business results and was placed in a position then with a team reporting to them and needed to learn how to do the team side of things. And I actually think as time goes forward that the team leadership component, being able to embed loyalty or to instill loyalty among your team, retain your team, motivate them, that's going to be equally as important as producing the business results as we move forward.
Right, exactly. And that's all part of the equation. What are the key insights from your experience that you think you can bring into the conversation with the folks that you're working with?
So there is a quote that sticks in my mind, and it says, you know, common sense is not common practice. And so what that means for the work that I do is there are a lot of times that I'm giving perspective that isn't overly complex, right? It is just what needs to be done. It might be a gap that needs to be restored between two team members. It might be a feedback conversation between a leader and a direct report. Whatever it is, I'm a good listener. That's at the core of my skill set. And so I listen, I learn about the individual that I'm working with, and I try to be a mirror to them of their own behaviors, of things that they've said to me, of situations that they've been in, and trying to help them to make effective decisions for themselves, right? It's not my decision to make. It's their decision to make, but I have the data and the understanding of who they are and what they've shared with me to be able to reflect back to them at key points in time.
That's fantastic. Are there blind spots that get discovered along the way? And if there are, what are some of them, and how do you identify them with a client? Are any of us truly connected to who we really are?
Well, I think that's our, if we wanted to get really deeply philosophical, Monday at lunchtime, we'd say that is our quest in life, right, to get in touch with who we truly are. But the way my coaching engagements help somebody to do that, I start my process with a key set of stakeholder interviews that formulate a picture for the person of who they are as a leader, as a manager, as a peer, potentially as a human. And my clients get a sense of how they are playing out in their work life and where people naturally see their strengths and where they have opportunities to improve or blind spots. So to your point, you know, most of us, if not all of us, are have blind spots about our personality, psychological blind spots where everybody else or many people know this about us, but we do not know this as intuitively ourselves. And so, you know, an easy example of that is a leader will come to me and say, I just heard that my team is absolutely overwhelmed. They don't know how to meet this deadline. And I can't imagine why they're not coming to me and telling me this so that we can engage and figure this out together. And so I'll go back and I'll interview a member or two of the team and they'll say to me, oh, we don't go to Bill because he blows a gasket every time we go to him to tell him that we're overwhelmed and we don't know how we meet the deadline. So there are blind spots for all of us in our daily patterns, whether it's a good day or a not so good day. But where those blind spots or those derailers really seem to bubble up is when we're under a lot of pressure. And it's hard for me to actually tell you that I interact with many leaders who aren't under a lot of pressure on a daily basis with everything that we've been going through in terms of the pandemic, the chip shortage, the great resignation, whatever it is that you want to say, we're all under a lot of pressure. And so trying to be as self-aware as possible, understanding where those blind spots are so that we can help to manage ourselves through is really the goal of what I try to achieve.
Which is fantastic. Do even the most successful corner office type of leaders have blind spots, would you say? Are they, you know, if they're at the top of the pyramid, why would you say from your perspective it's important that they see and understand these blind spots? Sometimes it's even a blind spot for them not to recognize that they might even have blind spots, right?
True. True. That's a very big blind spot. You know, I think that it's interesting because there probably was a period of time that a leader got to that corner office and put his or her feet up on the desk and said, ha, I made it. You know, here I am. Don't disturb me. I've reached the top.
Yeah.
And I don't even know if that happens in movies or Netflix series anymore, but that certainly is not the reality that the executives that I work with deal with. It is a high pressure situation. They get into that corner office and they have to now prove themselves differently. And, you know, I picture an executive walking into their first meeting with when they have been invited to join the C-suite or the CEO's cabinet, and they walk in and they look around, and so many of them have told me this. They look around the room and they say, oh, wow, everybody is as smart as I am in here. And the way that they got into that room was being really smart and scrappy and working really hard and producing great results. And congratulations, you're now in a peer group who's done exactly the same thing. And so how do you differentiate yourself from the peer group? How do you keep yourself at your very best to perform? That's the work that we do. And then the blind spots become important to uncover so that you know what that means in terms of your relationships with your peers, potentially your relationship with your boss, your presentations to the board, the way that you network, how you retain your team. There is so much going on for these executives to keep in check and in line around their own performance that it is incredibly helpful to have somebody to help sort it out with.
Right, exactly, because sometimes it can seem overwhelming, right?
Absolutely. I get overwhelmed for them when we're having these conversations. I check that and say, okay, let's take this in chunks and let's figure this out. But if you think of it in the way I just described it, it's entirely overwhelming and you wouldn't get out of bed in the morning. But it can be mastered, especially if you get somebody to the point of self-awareness where they truly know what they're good at. They understand how they operate. They understand how other people operate, and they're willing to roll up their sleeves and figure it out and say they're sorry whenever they bump into the person beside them and really genuinely try to get the best outcome for the people that work for them and for the business that they represent.
Exactly, and that's very important. What are these conversations like when you engage with a new executive client or leader? I mean, so much about this work that you do with your clients is really about the dialogue.
It is. It is very much about the dialogue. And, you know, I like to start an assignment by asking a new client, what does success look like for you? What do you have in mind? And not just for the assignment, right? For life, for their career, let's put the whole picture together. And if that's what success looks like, why aren't you there yet? Why aren't you there yet? What's holding you back? And those are really insightful conversations, and sometimes the answers that they give me match exactly what I hear from their team or their peers or their boss, and sometimes it doesn't, and that's always, you know, an interesting conversation as well. But I really want to engage with someone about how they define success and how I can help them to get there. And there are different reasons that people give me that they haven't yet attained success. When I do this work with high potential talent, those people knocking on the door of the C-suite, a lot of times success is still in their grasp, but they just haven't had all of the experiences that they need to get there, right? And that's a partnership between a coach and an organization to try to plan those out. But for a lot of people who are already sitting in the C-suite, they might not be there yet because of that dynamic I mentioned before. You know, they walk into the conference room and everybody's smart, everybody's working hard, Everybody's incredibly capable. And some people get a sense of imposter syndrome, right? And they clam up. And other people try to take up too much space in that room, right? They get too big, actually. And it creates dynamics between peers, between their boss, and it keeps them from doing their best work.
Exactly right, and that's not what you want to have happen. I mean, you obviously, it's so true that you love working with high potential talent, people who have been successful and have a great path ahead of them. But as, of course, Marshall Goldsmith, our mutual friend, says, what got you here won't get you there. And that's so true, right?
It is so true, especially during the time period that we live in, right? Nobody charted a career path that had COVID lockdowns in them. So,
right.
You know, what got you here is great, but you can't just rely on that and say, oh, I don't have to develop any further skills for the rest of my career. I'm wonderful, but, you know, I made it. And the one of the other interesting quotes that Marshall has is that he talks about as your career progresses or the higher you go, the more likely it is that your issues are behavioral, right? It's not about your IQ, because you should, if your IQ has gotten you to this point, it's now your EQ that's actually going to push you forward. It's going to be your key to success, because we're facing really complex business issues every single day. And it's rare that any of us, I don't know, maybe Elon Musk, but any of us are smart enough on our own to figure them out. So what our job becomes is, how do I pull the best answers out of my people? How do we collectively come to the best solution? And that's really the differentiator for an executive, where you look and say, that person is going to do great things because they have the IQ, they have the drive, and they have the EQ and the understanding that they're not the only one that can answer the question, and that they have to partner effectively with others to get it and to go after it.
Which is key, right? It is that partnership that's really essential. Have the rules around what gets you there changed as a result of COVID and this great resignation that we've heard so much about that people are doing?
Yeah, I think that they have. And I think, so how about this? I think they are changing. Have they changed in the sense that we could Google them and look them up on the internet? We could probably find something. I think that they're still changing. I think that we still have much to figure out in terms of what it looks like to go back into the office, what normal looks like in quotation marks, what our workforce is willing to do from a corporate perspective. There are a lot of people that have taken a time out during COVID and assessed where they're at in the course of their lifetime and what makes logical sense to them. You and I were talking a little bit about this. Does it make sense to take the red eye to close a client deal, or can you do it by Zoom sometimes? Does it make sense to pull the whole, you know, hold the whole team together or the whole company together to do a launch of a product? Or are there different ways to do it? And as we establish new normal patterns in society, I think business changes as a result of that too. And as business changes and as the demands of your employees change, that means leadership will have to change as well.
Exactly right, yes. And that's one thing to really, really let sink in. As far as success stories, I know you've probably got lots of success stories, Jill, but what would be a success story that you could share with us, somebody or a scenario that sticks out? You're really glad that you've worked with them and they're really glad that they've worked with you, and the success just continues.
It was, in terms of thinking about this, Jim, and what I wanted to share, it was hard to pick one because there are so many small moments and small victories that my clients have that really, it's so important for them, it's so important for me, especially when you're working with people who are at the top of their game. You're not doing an overhaul, right? We're not doing a makeover. This is let's shine the apple. Let's make you a little bit better. Let's make you more sound. Let's make you more centered. Let's make you more effective as you go back and lead your team. So it's not that we're making these, you know, ginormous changes. It's just that we are trying to get somebody to be the very best that they can be. But one story that does stick out to me was a number of years ago, and I had a client who truly, when I say, we use this expression all the time, he is the smartest person or she is the smartest person in the room, but this person truly was the smartest person in the room. Their intellect was off the charts, and they had great business insight. And I remember we did a team building event, and we were sitting, this person and I, after the team building event was over, and he turned and he looked at me and he said, you know, I would exchange so much of my intellect if I could figure out how to consistently work with people to get the best out of them. And it was a really vulnerable moment, and I doubt I'll ever forget it because it was a very human moment, and I knew that he meant that. That he would trade in IQ points or, you know, being the first one with the answer if he could figure out consistently how to get his team to perform the best. And so we did a lot of work in that direction. He intimidated his boss, which you don't often think naturally of a direct report intimidating a CEO, but I think it can happen in cases. And so we had to think about ways to be deferential and respectful in that relationship. We had to think of ways to get everybody's voice around the table and his leadership team so that it was their best thinking going forward and not just his best thinking going forward. And what I can tell you is when this individual left the organization that they were at in the time period that we were working together, the feedback on his leadership was so heartwarming that you knew that he had made a significant change in how he worked with people and that would be with him for the rest of his career.
That's fantastic. That's a great success story. Thanks for sharing that. You know, in American-based companies and corporations, we used to walk into the office and become different characters. We got about a minute left, but have the last 2 years impacted that compartmentalization for corporate professionals? And what do you see as the future?
Yep. So I think we used to return. So it's Monday. We used to return to office on Monday morning. We'd hop in the elevator. And if you knew the person beside you, you might say, hey, how was your weekend? And if you knew them a little better, you'd say, how was the basketball tournament that your son played in or your daughter played in this weekend? And then we'd go to our offices and we'd pack that part of us away and we would go through our business day. And COVID really gave us, especially so many corporations, I know people who weren't able to work from home during that experience, and that's a completely other situation. But for a lot of corporations, we saw our families on Zoom. We saw the kindergartner throw the temper tantrum. We saw the teenager looking for the car keys. We saw the whole person. And I hope that as we move forward, we continue to leverage that whole person that we saw and continue to ask about their families and about their lives and allow them to bring their whole self to work continuously.
Well said, well said. I encourage folks to make connection with you by going to jillhelmerconsulting.com. That's J-I-L-L-H-E-L-M-E-R. consulting.com to learn more. Jill, this was a real pleasure to chat with you and really hear how you do what you do so well. And hope we get a chance to expand more, maybe hear some more success stories down the line. That would be a real pleasure. And this 30 minutes went by in a New York minute, but thoroughly enjoyed it. And I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. Thanks so much for joining us on this episode.
I did, Jim. Thank you so much. Have a great day.
You too. You're very, very welcome. Keep up the extraordinary work. Jill Helmer of Jill Helmer Consulting, jillhelmerconsulting.com. Hopefully we'll chat more and expand more with Jill. She does incredible work, and it's impactful and positive for many. Thank you for joining us. I'm your host, Jim Masters. Thank you for your time this time. Till next time, stay tuned. We'll be back momentarily with another amazing guest right here for you on Close Up Radio. Till then, for all of us, have a great day. Happy Valentine's Day, and we'll chat again soon. Close Up Radio. Bye for now.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.